This is the SMB Community Podcast, the longest-running MSP-focused podcast in the industry.
I'm James Kernan. My background's IT sales, marketing, and leadership, and most recently, M&A advisory services.
And I'm Amy Babinchak. I help MSPs run stronger, more profitable firms from a tech-first perspective.
Here, you'll find practical insights for MSPs and IT service providers. Powered by Small Biz Thoughts.
Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast once again.
You bet. Good morning. Good to see you.
Hey, good morning. Here's what we're going to talk about today. We have a question of the week, which is, how should I adjust my stack for AI? We know that's on everybody's mind. We're going to talk about the Kaseya State of MSP report that just came out because there's definitely a theme inside of it. Mm-hmm. I have a question for the audience and maybe also for you, James. M&A wise, we're going to talk about when's the best time to sell your MSP. And we've got a tale from the field that's really kind of salty today.
Awesome.
Question of the week is, how should I adjust my stack for AI? I know this is on every MSP's mind because we're all trying to wrap our heads around how to manage AI. Your group's talking about that at all, James?
Yeah, every week. And, you know, it seems like every conversation, but it's really important. You know, the part that that I have seen early on people missing is security tool for AI that can help maybe on a single pane of glass manage what they need to manage and educate their clients on what's going on their network and so forth. But, you know, AI should be all over the stack with every selection that you have on the other products as well. So I'm sure you guys are talking about it as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, it's AI, I don't think is going to shape up to be too much different stack wise. So I hate that term stack, but it is true that we have to get some tools in place so that we can manage modern secure AI properly. This is really about shadow IT, right? Hearing terms, shadow AI, shadow IT, but it's all the same thing. It's people signing up using applications that you are not in control of. And as MSPs, we have to get our arms wrapped around this. We have to get our services out there saying we are in control and we are the leaders that can take care of this for you.
Right, right. Absolutely. And I think what goes along with that is us taking the role as MSP, you know, leaders in our community, that we're an authority on AI and we need to be educating our clients and our prospects on what they should or shouldn't be doing. I think that that thought leadership is, I'm not seeing very many people do a good job with that at all.
It's crucial.
Yeah.
Right. So the first thing you have to do before you can offer an AI service is talk to your clients and convince them and tell them why they need one.
Yeah.
Right. They're just out there going off and using it. It's like, why do I need to get my MSP involved in this?
Right.
So we do have to talk to them about privacy, security, cost control, because things are starting to switch over from monthly subscriptions to usage-based, token-based. Big problem. I saw a headline that's must have been a huge company, but they used $500 million in tokens in 1 month when they flipped from subscription-based to token-based.
Wow.
And really caught them off guard. Now they're sort of talking with Anthropic about that, Bill.
Yeah, we talk about this, it seems like, every week. It's so important to be that authority, have that consultative, trusted relationship, and have that conversation with all of your clients and prospects. That needs to be part of the 2026 plan and should be a key initiative for everybody.
Yep, 100% agree. Well, let's talk about the Kaseya State of the MSP report that just came out. Running an MSP is harder than ever. That's the big headline that they had in their blog when they were describing the results. And I'm going to run down a couple statistics here. 71% of the MSPs said acquiring new customers is their biggest challenge. I know that's been being talked about in my peer groups all year long. And yeah. I think in yours as well, right, James?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you look at these annual surveys, you know, or the State of the Union, you know, the number one biggest problem year over year, it's not just something new this year. It's every year it's net new clients. I want more net new clients. And that's always been a problem. So I'll be honest, traditionally, MSPs have done a poor job marketing their businesses. You know, very few, maybe 10% really have a strong, you know, sales and marketing engine and are out there educating their clients with what they should be doing. And, you know, it all starts with marketing, I think.
I think MSPs know what they have to do. They're just, maybe they're not out there doing it yet. One of the other statistics in the report was 48% of the MSPs said AI and automation is going to be their top client need. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's your top client need, that's what you need to have a solution for, and that's what you should be marketing.
Yeah, bingo.
Yeah. The other thing that really caught my eye was that the MSPs reporting that customer spending of more than $25,000 a year fell from 75% to 41%. That's a 30% drop. That's a big time.
You know, we talk to MSPs every single week, and most of the MSPs, at least in my community, you know, are all part of growth groups and are growth-minded, sales and marketing-minded. So most of them are giving me the thumbs up that, hey, James, my pipeline is up. Things are good. You know, we've had a good Q1, great Q2. We're well on track for a record year. But there are a lot of other MSPs that are struggling. And I read some other things out in some other Facebook forums that, you know, most MSPs are really struggling. Their pipeline is zilcho. I think it just goes back to what we continue to talk about and preach. Marketing is the oxygen in your business. You need to be doing it every day, and you need to be educating. And I've not seen one golden marketing campaign that you just do this one thing and you're going to be golden. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's a handful of five or six things that you need to do to get a strong message out to your customers and your prospects and in your target market. There's a lot of things that you really need to do, but that's so important because it has everything to do with building that pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is really coming from clients realizing that they just did a whole bunch of really important stuff tech-wise for their business and they didn't involve their MSP in it. Yeah. So we're seeing some devaluing of those MSP services, and it doesn't surprise me then that customers are spending less.
One last tip, Amy, I want to just say, because again, we always see, you know, pipelines are low. The low-hanging fruit in everybody's pipeline is your current customers. Make sure you're staying close to your current customers. Find out what's going on. You need to meet with them. Ask them how their business is doing and what their plans are for 2026 and how, you know, you need to muscle in and figure out a way to be a part of that. But yeah. It all, to me, happens with those face-to-face interactions with your clients. So you need to have those.
Yep. All of this can turn around with conversation. For
right.
Sure. Yep. You know, one of the things I noticed in the blog posts, which we've got in the show notes, where Kaseya summarizes their report, they also then have a little section under each one that says, you know, what should you do, right? Well, how should you overcome this thing we found, right? And in every single one of those, the answer was automate. And of course it was, because that's what Kaseya is going to help you with.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me think about a LinkedIn post that I put up last week, where I told MSPs they're doing AI a little bit wrong, because I said, you know, hey, are you adopting AI for the future, or are you just automating for the last 10 of what you've been doing for the last 10 years? Where's your mm-hmm. focus? I also threw that up on my blog now, so if you wanted to go read that, you could do that over at Third Tier.
That's a great question. What feedback are you getting for, you know, how people are leveraging AI? Are they trying to automate the past, or are they trying to adopt for the future? Where are you seeing people comment on that?
I'm seeing more people automating the past.
Yeah. Like,
and, you know, I see all of our vendor tools automating the past.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to make your help desk automated so you can hire a few people. They're going to automate your social media postings. You can do your marketing on auto. Everything is about turning everything into auto. And I think it totally misses what you just talked about, James, with the communication and talking to clients and being that authority. And I think that's where the future is, not in automating all this stuff that we might not even be doing in the future.
I see most people doing what you just said, you know, trying to automate the past. That's, I think, the easier way to do it. But any form of adoption of AI, whether it's the past or the future, I think is good. That would have been my reply. You know, at least you're implementing it, and you've got a plan. You know, a lot of MSPs need to catch up with that.
I think you have to be using it yourself for sure. But right. I don't think that we can automate the stuff we've been doing for the past 10 years and think that's going to carry us forward into the next 10 years.
Yeah,
it absolutely won't.
Yeah, it actually just came up this week on some peer group calls because we have a similar format to every one of the weekly calls in the different groups. And I'm saying, okay, what's new with everybody from an AI standpoint? How have you monetized AI? And one of the guys was really talking about, hey, I just sold a couple projects to two different clients, and basically they were using Claude to help connect several of their tools to put better reporting together and trying to automate some of the processes. So it's exactly what you're talking about, but at least they're monetizing it. You know, they're not doing it they have done it internally, but now they're starting to do it for other clients and sell that. So
yeah, I think that's a good idea.
The SMB Online Conference is June 23rd through 25th, and registration is open now. 3 days of practitioner-focused sessions. Pricing, M&A, AI, private equity, service delivery. No vendor speakers, no fluff. The theme is profitable is enough. If that resonates, you should be there. Small Biz Thoughts community members get in free. Everyone else, $399 at smbonlineconference.com.
Yeah.
Well, let's chat M&A for a minute. Question is, what is the best time to sell an MSP? And in my book, I say it's really that the moment when three things line up, your business is operating really strongly and it's in a growth pattern. The outside environment, meaning the economy in general, right? There's opportunities for you to right. sell. And you yourself are actually ready to move on into whatever you have planned for the next phase of your life.
Yeah, I'd agree. Those are three key things that really need to overlap. And sometimes they don't. You know, maybe it's a good time to sell because of the market conditions, but your sales are down. You know, I've had people come to me with that same scenario. It's like, hey, my sales are down in 25 compared to 23 and 24. You know, it's like, well, it is a seller's market right now, so the conditions are good, but we're not going to get what we would have if you came to me 2 years ago. And then the really important one people overlook, it's like, when are you really mentally ready to sell your business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't understand that. And, I feel like, as an M&A advisor, half of my time is the skill of valuations and marketing and, you know, negotiating good deals for these families looking to sell their business or buy a business. But on the flip side, there's a lot of emotions that go to that. And, some people aren't ready to do that, but it's always overlooked. It seems like, cause half of my other time is kind of being that person talking people out of the trees. It's like, okay, don't jump. Just please come down. Let's talk about this because it's stressful. And
it is stressful. Yeah. I know, for me, it took me 3 years to get my head wrapped around that idea.
Yeah.
And, even then we've talked about this, you're still surprised when it happens. But I think that too many people put an emphasis on what the market is doing. Like, they read the press, oh, this is a great time. It's a seller's market. The reality is, it's a good time to sell your business when you've got a really good business to sell. There's always going to be a buyer for a well-run company.
Right, right. Yeah, it's funny. When I came for the time when I sold my company, when I was 100% owner, it just, you know, I'd been through several transactions before with other partners, or me buying something or selling part of my interest. So it was different. When I sold, it just kind of happened really quick. I wasn't shopping. Somebody came to me and like, hey, we want to buy you. And it's like, wow. Oh, you know, it just surprised me. And then it happened so quick. And then it's like, okay, great. Now what am I going to do? You know, I can only sit in my backyard and garden so long before I think I did that for a week before I was bored to death. So, anyway, it's an important thing to really think through and do it with your spouse and your family. And a lot of people have partners, you know, you all need to be on the same sheet of music for sure.
Everybody does. Yeah. It's a major life event. So,
yeah.
Tales from the field.
Well, I promised you a salty question of the tales from the field. And we have one. I saw this on Reddit. Here it goes. I had someone tell my help desk to fork off after being told MFA was being enforced.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think we've all been there with those strong-minded clients. But to me, I would do this with a smile on my face. I would contact the customer and say, listen, you've hired us as your trusted IT security provider to protect you. You know, we're proud of what we do, and here's how we're going to do it. And if we can't do it for you, then I think we need to part ways. I'll offboard you and send you along to someone else who will do whatever you want. But that's not how we do our IT. You know, you got to protect your team and stand up for yourself. And in many cases, people will respect that when you come off like that. You've got to be confident in that. But in some cases, they're too prideful and they can't get out of their own way and they may leave and go somewhere else. But, you know, hopefully you can talk some sense into them if you take a firm stance. I'm sure that's your answer as well, isn't it, Amy?
Oh, yeah. You know, we had similar kinds of things happen, not so much around MFA, but, you know, other random issues over the years where a client would be really rude to one of my staff. And you have to make that call to the business owner and say, hey, I will not have my people treated this way.
Yeah.
You know, I need to tell you about what happened, and this doesn't work for us. In the case of this Reddit poster, they said, you know, a few days later, they were actually told to disable that person's access, and they never heard from them again. Hmm. So it sounds like they handled it right.
Yeah.
But still, it's shocking when it happens. It's just like, nobody should be that rude to somebody that's trying to do a job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I've always had the same way. And it's such an awkward thing to pick up the phone and call a customer and saying, hey, you know, you dropped some four-letter words to one of my staff members. We can't have that. We need to treat each other with respect and professionalism. And if you can't do that, then we can't do business together. It's just plain and simple. And your team will love you for sticking up for them. But, you know, make sure, you know, trust but verify. Make sure that that your team was professional as well.
James, you've got an event coming up at the end of July. I am coming to Omaha, Nebraska for some event. What is that?
Watch out, Omaha, Nebraska. Amy Babinchek is coming to town. But yeah, it's the upcoming Mastermind Roadshow. We're really excited, you know, right here in my hometown. 2-day event. The Mastermind event will be July 30th and 31st. If anybody wants any information on that or any of our listeners, I'd love to have you consider coming to this event. It's super inexpensive to come to Omaha, Nebraska, you know, from a traveling standpoint and then a hotel standpoint, but it'll be a 5-star event. We always have 2 full days of content. We've got great speakers like Amy, myself, got great speakers from all around the country coming to talk about M&A, about AI, EOS is a topic, you know, valuations, sales and marketing, lead gen. got a lot of great sessions. So we'd love to see you. If anybody's interested, just reach out to james@kernanconsulting.com.
And this is one of those small group events that James and I both feel pretty strongly should be spending our money on small events and less money on those big flashy events. I want to remind you to submit a question. You can submit your question via email, video, or voice recording. You can do that over at the SMB Community Podcast website, and we really hope to hear from you. It helps us build out those questions for our next episode.
Thank you for listening and or watching. Dave breaks down the IT news of the day on his show, The Business of Tech, with bonus content on the weekends.
Watching this on YouTube? Be sure to like and subscribe so you always know you've got our latest episode. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to use the contact form on the SMB Community Podcast webpage. That's smbcommunitypodcast.com. Or leave your comments on our YouTube episode page. Produced by Picture This Video. Part of the MSP Radio Network.